The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Well, now I'm joined by Cameron Hill. Cameron, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. We want to talk about everyday idioms that have crept into our speech that have been derived from sport. But before we do that, you're a rugby man. What did you make of yesterday and indeed Friday night?
A tough weekend for Irish rugby on what could have been a glorious weekend. I suppose it felt like Montpellier were always going to pull away from Ulster in the Challenge Cup final on Friday night. And yeah, there's a reason Bordeaux were so hotly tipped to go back-to-back in the Champions Cup this year. Leinster, while they did score first, it seemed like Bordeaux scored far easier when they got their first try. And when you've got the likes of Louis Bielbiere, Maxime Lucu, Mathieu Jalibert, Damien Penault, to name but a few in your team, it's only going to go one way, you feel.
Yeah. Now, the problem is not that they lost. It's that they lost so badly.
And there were mistakes, and it felt like it was the story of Leinster's season where there were knock-ons needlessly at the back of the ruck, just sloppy individual errors, because they could have kept Bordeaux much closer. But it really did feel like, despite the scoreline, Bordeaux didn't get out of third gear, really. It felt like they still had a little bit more to give.
But I wonder, was it that Bordeaux simply didn't allow them to play? I mean, the number of interceptions was phenomenal. In other words, Bordeaux were really quick.
Yeah. And it's emblematic, I suppose, of the French stranglehold that they have on European rugby right now. I think it's the last six champions in the Champions Cup are French. And you just feel like it's going to be very hard for anyone outside of the top 14 to break that hoodoo.
All right, well, we shall have to wait for next season. Anyway, let's move on to these idioms. Did you come in here on your Todd?
No, I was on the bus, if that counts. But so on your Todd, I only discovered this last week, comes from James Foreman Sloan, who was a very successful jockey at the turn of the 20th century, known as Toad by his father, a rather cruel nickname because he was very short. He changed it to Todd, which I think was a good call, and at age 12, his disproportionately short legs helped him become a jockey, a very successful jockey, in fact. He dominated the racing scene on the east coast of the US in the late 1890s. He won 46% of his races that he entered in 1898, and then he moves to the UK, where he's selected to ride for the King, then Prince of Wales, then King Edward VII, and wins the 1,000 guineas at Newmarket in 1899 and the Ascot Gold Cup the following year. He also popularised the monkey crouch position on the horse, so he shortened his stirrups and rode up high on the saddle, which then became the done thing across horse racing. Apparently everyone rode upright, which is one of those situations in history where I know we have the benefit of hindsight, but I just, how did that not occur to anybody to do that in horse racing?
Now, he had a lot of success and of course fame, but quite a few detractors as well. Why?
Yeah, the British racing scene, not a fan of this. Maybe a little bit of Yankophobia in here too, but the British Jockey Club in 1901 refused him a license for unspecified conduct prejudicial to the best interests of the sport. And he lived hard too and blew through his vast winnings. So he purchased a small bistro in Paris in 1911 and converted it into what became Harry's Bar.
My goodness.
So the famous modernist haunt of the likes of Ernest Hemingway. I think James Bond drinks there a good bit in Ian Fleming's novels. Other rumours were that he gave substances to improve the performances of his horse. And he was also accused of betting on his own races on multiple occasions, charges he was later cleared of. And to kind of do his PR a bit of good, he released a memoir in 1915 called Todd Sloan by himself. And that's probably what led to the name.
On Your Todd.
So On Your Todd Sloan is Cockney rhyming slang to be on your own. But also Cockney rhyming slang always has a double entendre. So it's probably, it's likely that he was well known as an outcast. And the irony of his life is that Todd Sloan, who was divorced twice and blew through his money, died in poverty of cirrhosis of the liver in 1933 at the age of 59. So he quite literally died on his Todd.
My goodness. Bringing home the bacon.
So the first recorded use of this comes in 1906 from the mother of a boxer named Joe Gans. He was the first ever US-born African-American boxer to become a world champion when he claimed the lightweight title in 1900. Ring magazine founder Nat Fleischer calls him the greatest lightweight boxer of all time. And 6 years later, he's set to defend that title against Oscar Battling Nelson in Nevada. Gans's mother, back home in Baltimore, Maryland, reportedly sent a telegram to her son before the fight. Joe, the eyes of the world are on you. Everyone says you ought to win. Peter Jackson will tell me the news and you bring back the bacon. Gans got the job done in a fight that lasted an incredible 42 rounds and only ended, Pat, when Nelson was disqualified for a low blow. Gan sends a telegram back home to his mother with accounts varying on the precise wording of it. Some say it simply read, "Bringing home the bacon," while others say he also said he was bringing home the gravy too. But Mrs. Gans used the phrase again ahead of his next match the following January, and the phrase soared in popularity afterwards. The thing about Gans is he also died very young at age 35 of consumption. So I don't want to coin a phrase for fear that it mightn't be good for my health, because it seems like people die very young as a result.
Now, other phrases that come from sport, the Big Apple.
Comes from horse racing. So in late 19th century America, if you were putting money on something that was a sure thing, you were said to be betting the Big Apple on it. And the New York Times in 2018 said that the Morning Telegraph reported first in 1924 that the dream of every lad that ever threw a leg over a thoroughbred and the goal of all horsemen, there's only one Big Apple. That's New York. There is a Chicago Defender article from 1922 that refers to a visit to New York, and not just in a horse racing sense, that I trust your trip to the Big Apple was a huge success. But that report from 24 is the first time it was used as a proper noun, and the nickname stuck.
If you beat someone hands down.
Where do you think that comes from?
Cards?
No, I thought it might have been boxing, because you obviously aren't putting much effort in if you can win it hands down. But it also comes from horse racing. So if you win a race hands down, you've no need to occupy or engage the reins. So you're doing it at a canter.
A gambit comes from Italian.
Yes, it's from the old Italian word gambetto, meaning to trip, and was first used in chess for various risky moves, and then adapted to other sports and wider meanings. And if you were to describe something as a strong suit, that comes from bridge, when your hand contains a number of highly valuable cards. And the strongest part of a fencing sword, Pat, or the épée, is known as the forte, which is why it refers to one's particular strength.
And what about hat-trick?
This comes from cricket. So Heathfield Stevenson, who is an all-time great name in quirky sports, he played for England in 1858 and took three consecutive wickets in Sheffield. For those uninitiated, he used three of his balls in a row to take out players, basically, to get them out. And that prompted a collection among the crowd to be taken up. And the money was used to buy Stevenson a hat, which an unusual gift. But it means that when you perform a great feat, that's hat-worthy, it's known as a hat-trick.
It's a hat-trick. Now, we'll finally talk about soccer, and it comes from Associated Football, which became shortened to ASOC football, you know, Associated Football. But where did the soccer come from?
Well, we don't quite know, but the great sports writer Nick Harris has been doing some digging ahead of the World Cup kicking off next month in, among other places, the US, because Americans are often derided for using the term soccer instead of football, when actually it was used maybe as, so in English public schools, the tradition was to shorten something and use "er" as a suffix. So instead of breakfast, you'd have "breckers." So he reckons that soccer comes from ASOC football, or ASOCer shortened to soccer. And we know it was used very early on, because Charles Refford Brown, one of the early greats of the game, there's a story about him saying that he was breakfasting in Oxford one morning when a friend asked him, "Will you come and have a game at Rugger after breakfast?" "No, thank you," he said, before adding waggishly, "I'm going to play a game of soccer." So we've been giving the Yanks a hard time. It should be the English we should be deriding.
All from the Toffs. Cameron Hill, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
With Timber Living Log Cabins.